Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about the name of Jesus today and over the next few weeks. I mentioned back in August that God had put it on my heart to do a series on the name of Jesus. And so I knew we had some things coming up where I wanted to wait a little while before I started that. And so today's the day. Hallelujah. Today's the day. Christmas has come. Hallelujah. That's kind of the way I feel about this. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. Look at the scripture with me. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Can you imagine? Can you picture this? Can you see this? Here's this man. The Bible says he's lame from birth. He's never walked. And all of a sudden, here he is, and he's been laid. Every day they laid him at the gate of the temple, at the beautiful gate. That was one of the gates going into Jerusalem that led. If you go through that gate, it's the closest access to get to the temple. So everybody going to the temple would go through that gate, and they would see that man, and he was stationed there. He was placed there, and he was there every day. People would go in, and he would sit there. You've seen people, maybe, you don't see it so much around here, although it's kind of increasing around here. But in Atlanta, you see people, that are begging, or they're either homeless, or sometimes you see people that are crippled or paralyzed. I, sometimes see them outside from coming out of a ball game. You know, they'll be there to ask people for money or food or whatever. That's what this man was doing. And they laid him there, his friends or family, whoever would come. And every morning they would come and they would lay him there, and he would sit there all day long, and he would ask for alms, because he couldn't work. He was lame. He'd never walked, and he couldn't work, and they didn't have welfare, government welfare in that day, so he depended on the generosity of people to be able to eat. And so he was doing that that was his life. And so Peter and John, this is the first miracle that in the church, the first miracle of healing that occurred in the church. After the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus has gone to the cross, died on the cross, shed his blood, was raised from the dead, and then he appeared on and off to the disciples for 40 days, and then he ascended back into heaven. He said, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. This is just a few days after that, and so they're going into the temple to pray. They're still following Jewish custom. That was a Jewish custom to do that. At the ninth hour, which is 3 PM, and so they're going in there. The man's been sitting there, and Peter said, "Look at us. Look here." He made eye contact. A lot of times we don't like to make eye contact with people like that. Well, let's walk on the other side of the sidewalk so we don't have to encounter them. But Peter made eye contact. Do you know we have something on the inside of us from God that ought to cause us to make eye contact with people? Amen. We ought not to be afraid to make eye contact because we've got something that people need. Amen. And so Peter said, "Look at us." And he said, "I don't have any silver and gold, but what?" Let's put verse 6 back up there, Mike, if you would. He said, "Silver and gold I do not have," and we could add this, "and that's not really going to help you anyway, sir, in the long run." I mean, he needed it to eat. But he said, "I've got something better for you than silver and gold right now." And he says, "But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter knew that he had the name of Jesus, and he knew, and he had confidence, and he had boldness, and he had assurance that if he would speak to this man and command him to rise and walk in the name of Jesus, that the man would get up.
Amen.
Amen. He had confidence that the name of Jesus would work. And see, this is the purpose of this series. This is what God began to speak to my heart about, is that He wants us to have confidence in that name. You all have heard these scriptures. Most of you probably have heard these scriptures I'm going to be sharing with you in this series. A lot of you could quote them back to me. But the thing is, the point is, what God wants to do in this series, what the Holy Spirit wants to impact and imprint on our hearts, is a confidence and an assurance in the authority and the power of the name of Jesus to get results when we use it. Amen? Praise God. I'm excited about what I'm going to learn in this and what God's going to do in me. I can't wait to preach it so I can get the benefit from it. Amen? And I trust you're there with me. Amen? Praise God. So He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And then He acted. The Bible says He took him by the right hand and He lifted him up. And then verse 7 says, it says here, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. When did his feet and ankle bones receive strength? Not until he took him by the hand and lifted him up. That was an act of faith, wasn't it? Yes. Amen? Yeah. And so, where did Peter gain? Where did he get this confidence, though? I got to thinking about that, he said, what I have, I give you. That was confidence. Where did he get that? Where did that confidence come from? Well, I think if we go back from the Holy Spirit, but I think if we go back and look at, you know, the Bible says experience worketh hope. And that's in Romans chapter 5. What does that mean? Experience gives you hope. If you've seen God do it before, then you have hope that He'll do it again. It's true spiritually. It's true in the natural. When you gain experience, a certain skill at doing something, then you have confidence. You know, Mickey is an expert at drywall and painting, and he does that work with a lot of confidence because he's done it so many times. He's gained experience, right? And so he can do it with confidence. Well, spiritually, God wants us to have confidence in the name of Jesus. And Peter had gained confidence. Luke chapter 9. Look at Luke chapter 9 with me. In verse 1 it says, then he, talking about Jesus, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons. Over how many demons?
All.
Over all demons and to cure diseases. Verse 2 says, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He gave them power. That's the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite from. Amen. Jesus gave them power. That means that when they ministered to the oppressed, to those who were demon-possessed or oppressed, to those who were sick, when they ministered, there was a power that came through them from God that actually drove away the demonic influence and actually drove out the sickness and disease. There was a power there.
Yes.
He gave them power and authority. Amen. So not only did he give them there was a power to drive it out, but they were authorized to do so.
Amen.
They were both authorized and they were empowered.
Amen.
Authority and power go together. You really can't have one without the other effectively, as you'll see as we go through this and as I share this illustration with you. And as we go into chapter 10, in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, it says this. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others. So it says he called the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. And then after that, he said, you know, this is not enough. We need to spread this out a little bit. He appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he gave those 70 the same power and the same authority that he had given the original 12. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, scripture we're going to look at in a minute will prove that. But I want to ask some questions for us to think about. He gave them power and authority. How did he do that? How did he give them that power and authority? How was it transferred to them? How did they know they had it? And how did they use it or demonstrate it? So when it says he gave them power, sometimes we skim across these and don't think about it, but we need to, you know, to really get it. Okay, how did he gave them power and authority? Well, how did he do that? And then how did they know they had it? And then how did they use it? How did they demonstrate it? Well, verse 17 of Luke 10, those 70 that he sent out, they come back, and look at what it says here. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. How? In your name. In your name. Everybody say, in your name.
In your name.
So the 70 that he sent out, that he gave power and authority to, they come back with joy. They say, Jesus, it was awesome out there. We went out there, and I mean, the demons just fled. The people were set free. People were delivered. People were healed. The demons were subject to us in your name. So how did he give them that power and authority? He gave them that power and authority by telling them they could use his name.
That's right.
Amen.
That's how it happened. And so they went out and how did they demonstrate that power and authority? How did they use it? By speaking his name. By speaking to people in his name. By commanding the demons to leave in his name. By commanding the sick to be healed in his name. And it happened. I believe that's why Peter could have that confidence when he spoke to that man. Now, I just heard this week, and David had told me that he was applying for it and getting ready for it. But David and Karen's son William is now a part of the Forsyth County Sheriff's Department. He's a deputy, right? He's a deputy in the Forsyth County Sheriff's Department, William Webb. So if you get in trouble, William's going to take care of you. I didn't say call William, but he may be the one getting you in trouble. So no. He'll come see you. And David and I and the jail ministry team, we'll come see you. No, but the point I want to make about that is this. William is now authorized to enforce the law in Forsyth County. Well, how did that happen? Well, in his case, he had to go through some training, right? He had to go through training. He had to apply for the job. Then he had to go through some training. He didn't just walk in off the street and say, here I am for work. You know, no. He had to have some training, but now he's been authorized. Karen left me a message, said William was sworn in. He was sworn in. That's when he was authorized. The moment he was sworn in, he was authorized. And then I imagine they gave him a gun?
No.
Not yet? Gave him a badge. Okay. All right. Gave him a badge. They don't do. I guess the police don't get guns anymore, do they? But, oh, Lord. Don't get me off on that. Did you hear that? Did you know that 70% of the protesters arrested in Charlotte because of the shooting there? You know, they've been protesting and burning the city and looting because a policeman shot someone. It happened to be an African-American policeman that shot another guy that was African-American, but they didn't care about that. They're saying it's racist anyway. 70% of the people arrested were from out of state. You know why it's happening? Because a man named George Soros is trying to control the election, and he's funding this group, Black Lives Matter, to go in and bus in these protesters from out of state to try to stir up trouble. They're trying to influence the election in North Carolina because North Carolina's close in the polls, and so that's what this is all about. And so just be praying. Amen. Pray for the people of Charlotte, and there's a lot of good people there, black and white. There's a lot of good folks, a lot of good African American people there, that are caught up in this, and they don't want to be a part of it. So amen. So just be praying. And so anyway, back to Peter and the lame man that was healed. That's why he could have confidence, because you know he had Jesus had authorized him, and they'd gone out and they'd done this. And so, but yet I wonder if he thought in the back of his mind, I wonder, now I know this worked when Jesus was on the earth with us, but Jesus is back in heaven now. Jesus is not here on the earth. He's gone back to heaven. I wonder if it'll work the same way. Well, I don't know if he thought that or not, but guess what? It did work. It did work the same way. And guess what? The name of Jesus hasn't changed.
That's right.
The name of Jesus hasn't lost its authority and its power. The question is, do we have faith in the name? Do we have confidence in the name? Well, God wants to stir us up to where our confidence is in that name. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So in verse number 12, in Acts 3 and verse 12, so the man is healed, and the people come running together, running to them. And it says, so when Peter, because everybody knew the man. I mean, he was a fixture, you know, there laid at the gate. And so when verse 12 says, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? In other words, Peter said, it's not because we're apostles. It's not by any power or any godliness that we generated in and of ourselves. That's what he's telling them. Now, don't read too much into this. Don't take it to the extreme and say, you know, he's not saying, well, we can live ungodly and still exercise the authority in the name of Jesus. That is not what he's saying. Amen? But what he is saying is this is not something special or unique for us. This is not, don't look at us. It's not because my name is Peter and it's not because his name is John. It's not because of who we are. It's because what we've been authorized to do. It's because of the name that we spoke in. Because I'm sure that Peter remembered that Jesus also said this before he ascended to heaven in Mark 16 in verse 17. And these signs will follow who? Those who believe. Not just Peter and John. He didn't say these signs will follow Peter and John. These signs will follow those who believe. What? In my name. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Next verse. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They, in my name, will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So Peter said, it's not because I'm Peter and he's John. It's not because we're apostles. It's because of the name. And it's because we believe in that name. We have confidence in that name. We have faith in that name. In verse 16 of Acts 3, we go back to Acts 3 again. In verse 16, it says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. What made the man strong? What did Peter say made the man strong? His name. All right, think. Let's don't skip this. Let's don't go past it too quick here and miss it. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. So what made the man that was formerly weak and crippled strong? His name made him strong. Whose name?
Jesus.
The name of Jesus. His name, and not only his name, but faith in his name. Through faith in his name has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him what? He was totally crippled and now he's a little bit better and he's got, no, perfect soundness. The name of Jesus had given him what? Perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, is the name of Jesus the same today? Does the name of Jesus have the same power and the same authority today? Do you think if the name of Jesus made that man strong, that the name of Jesus can make you strong? Do you think if the name of Jesus gave this man perfect soundness, that the name of Jesus can give you perfect soundness?
Yes.
I believe that.
Amen.
Tammy, I want to pray for you right now. Amen. If you come up here and ushers, if you would help me. I was told that you're battling some very severe issues health-wise. The name, look at me. The name of Jesus made this man strong. Put that scripture back up there, Mike. Verse 16, Acts 3:16. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. His name can make you strong. His name, the name of Jesus, gave this man perfect soundness. The name of Jesus can give you perfect soundness. I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. And it's the name of Jesus that's going to make you strong. It's the name of Jesus that's going to give you perfect soundness. Are you ready to receive your healing? God wants to heal you. God wants to make you whole. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, sickness, you leave this body. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command every organ and every part in this body to be healed now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command every part of this body, the pancreas, to function perfectly and to be healed. In the name of Jesus, the liver to function perfectly and to be healed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive healing and be made perfectly sound in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive it, Lord. We receive it. We receive it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now receive that. Receive that. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. It belongs to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank God for your healing. Thank God for your healing. We're going to get a great testimony and a great report. To the glory of Jesus Christ. To the glory of His name. To the glory of His name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So Peter, after this happened, Peter took the opportunity then to preach the gospel to the crowd that had gathered. And the number, the Bible says the number of men came to be about 5,000. Now, 3,000 had been saved and baptized on the day of Pentecost just a few days before. And now Peter preaches and another 2,000 men, they numbered it that way, plus the women and children. So we don't know how many total, but the number of men, it says, came to be about 5,000. And so 2,000 more men got saved that day. And so the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and using the name of Jesus, those are the best soul-winning tools.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Those are the best tools that we have, come on, to win people to Jesus.
Yes.
Thank God for programs and different things that we can do. But the name of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that's why we need to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's why we need to learn to use the name of Jesus. These are the best tools for soul winning. These are the best tools for bringing people to Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, when they had set them, so Peter and John get apprehended by the authorities then, by the Jewish religious leaders, because they didn't like all of this. Because they were the ones that had orchestrated the crucifixion of Jesus, and they thought they were through. They thought they'd gotten rid of this Jesus. But here they are, now these few disciples, now they've multiplied till there's over 5,000 of them in just a few days. And in chapter 4, verse 7, they're apprehended by the authorities, and they have to appear before the council. And if you read it closely, you find that the man that got healed, he's there with them too. I'm sure with a big grin on his face. I'm sure going, I'm healed. Here I am. Isn't that wonderful? And they're like, please, shut up. Peter and John are not, but the guys that have called them in are saying, would you calm down, sir? How can I calm down? I can walk. I've never walked. No, I can walk. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? By what power or by what name have you done this? Done what? Meaning meaning the healing of the lame man. By what power or by what name have you done this? Well, they were on the right track. It was by someone's power and it was by a name.
Yeah.
Verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name that we've done this in. That's the name that we've done this by. That by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole.
Amen.
Glory to God. So the Bible said earlier he received strength and was made strong. It says he received perfect soundness. And now Peter says he's made whole. The name of Jesus will make you whole. I said the name of Jesus will make you whole. Hallelujah. He says, by him this man stands before you whole. Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. It says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name. Everybody say, no other name.
No other name.
Say it again. No other name.
No other name.
One more time. No other name.
No other name.
For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So he said, not only is there healing in that name, but there's no other name under heaven by which you can be saved but this name, the name of Jesus. So the name of Jesus not only brings healing, but in the name of Jesus, there's salvation. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I know you know this one, but Romans 10, verse 9, this is out of the New Living Translation. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, here's how to be saved. Here's how to become a follower of Jesus. Here's how to have your sins forgiven. Here's how to know that you're going to heaven right here. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
There's power to save in that name.
Right.
There's power to save. There's no other name by which we must be saved. And so Paul is writing and he said, if you'll confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. If you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then he says, you will be saved. In verse 13, he says, for everyone. Everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
Does that include you?
Yes, it does.
Does that include the Muslims in Pakistan when the Odells go and preach there and they preach the gospel and they say, if you'll call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved? Yes, it includes the Muslims in Pakistan. Does it include folks in Africa and Asia and South America and all around the globe when the gospel is preached? And whoever's delivering that message says, if you'll call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved. Does it apply in India where the people that have been following Hinduism come and they hear the gospel and they see the miracles and they're told, if you'll call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved. And they call on that name. Does that mean them too?
Yes, it does.
Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. What is that name? That name is Jesus. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. Now, we've been authorized. We talked about this a little bit earlier. We've been authorized to use that name. Any believer is authorized. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're authorized to use His name. You're authorized to use His name. He authorized the 12 to begin with that we read about. Then He authorized 70 beyond that. And then He said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. And so any believer, any Christian is authorized to use the name of Jesus. But we have to, as I said earlier, we have to develop faith and confidence in that name. Amen? These signs will follow, Mark 16 says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. The name of Jesus is not like a magic saying or a rabbit's foot or something, you know, like a good luck charm or anything like that. No, we have to have faith in that name. There's power, there's authority in it, but it's only released, it's only unlocked when we have faith in it.
Amen.
Amen? We have to have faith in that name. And so, any believers authorized, look at verse 13 of chapter 4. So Peter says, they ask him, he's still in front of the council here. And look at this, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Is that some of your bunch? Okay. All right, it's another motorcycle group going by. Jim rides by in June. It's when their run is, not race, but run. Hallelujah. But notice this, it says they realized that they had been with Jesus. They saw Peter and John and they said, hey, these guys are uneducated and untrained as far as religious law. We're all for education and we're all for training, but education and training doesn't authorize you to use the name of Jesus. Being born again authorizes you. And here's another key. They realized they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. So I want to submit this to us. Our faith and our confidence to use the name of Jesus, I believe, is in proportion to how much we are with Jesus. Amen? If you allow yourself to be with Jesus, to fellowship with Him, to spend time with Him, to allow Him to work in your heart and speak to you, then you're going to have faith in that name. You're going to have faith. They realized that they had been with Jesus. They were acquainted with Him. They knew Him. If you don't know Him, if you don't really know Him and you're just going to try it, well, we'll look at that in a minute of what happened about with that. But look at this scripture in Mark chapter 3. In Mark 3, look at this. This is talking about when Jesus first called His first 12 disciples. Then He appointed 12. Look at this. First thing He appointed them for was what? Read it with me. That they might be with Him. That they might be with... What's the first thing that Jesus wants you to do? So, well, I want to do something for God. Well, the first thing He wants you to do is be with Him. Yeah. Be with Him. Yeah. Amen? Right. Before we can do anything for Him, right, we have to be with Him.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. That they might be with Him. What did He do? Because when they were with Him, He trained them.
Yeah.
When they were with Him, He imparted into them. Yeah. When they were with Him, they gained the confidence and the faith that when they spoke and acted and ministered in His name, there'd be results and there'd be power behind it. He appointed the 12 that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach, next verse, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. All of that was a part of it, but it started with being with Him. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to be with Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so that's a key here. That's a key to having faith and confidence in that name. We're authorized to use His name, but we have to have confidence and faith in that. And it comes from being with Him. Amen. Did I say something wrong?
She said she's going to send me to Jesus.
Oh, she's going to send you to Jesus. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's move on from that then. Let's look at, go with me to Acts 19. And there's some unauthorized users of that name. We're going to look at this. Look at this now. Acts 19:11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Who worked the miracles? God did. But whose hands did He use? Well, God wants to use your hands today. I said God wants to use your hands. It's God doing the work, but He's got to have hands to work through. Amen. God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. So those handkerchiefs and aprons were soaking up the power and the anointing that was around Paul and upon Paul. And they would take those handkerchiefs and aprons to the people miles away and they would say, here, wear this, put this on. And evil spirits went out of the people and diseases left them. Amazing. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We've seen that work, sending prayer cloths to people. From here? From this church? Praise the Lord. Her uncle was healed. Come up and tell us what happened. Praise the Lord. Let me get the microphone. Can we get this on the recording, Amy? From this microphone? All right. Good. Yeah, tell us what happened.
Well, this has been a while back, but I come up here and I ask for Pastor David to take these handkerchiefs and, you know, bless them with the church. And it says to bring the verse, cloths to
what we read right here. Yeah. Yeah.
And have the senior people of the church bless them.
Uh-huh. The elders,
yeah. Yeah, elders. Uh-huh. That's what it meant. Okay, and then... That's what happened. And then I went to all my way to Florida to see my mother. And I stopped by my uncle's house. And he had been laying in the bed. And I said, well, we're going to...
What was, his condition? What was his condition?
Very sick. They'd been taking him to the doctor, and they were trying to figure out what it was, and they couldn't figure it out. And he was getting older, you know, an older gentleman. And we took the cloth, and my daughter Michelle was there, and his wife, my well, not my aunt, but his new wife. And she was there, and he was there, and we laid the cloth on him, and we prayed over the cloth. And he was healed.
Praise the Lord.
And he went to a, well, he's gone now, but to with a father, but he's lived about 10 more years.
Wow.
After this happened, and he went to the doctor the next day. They said he was going to have tests run. The test came back. There was nothing wrong with those tests.
Praise the Lord.
He had gone to weddings, and he danced, and
he
did all this with his great-grandchild.
Praise God. Wow.
And so he did, his kids were ready for him this time to go.
Yeah.
We thought he was going to go when I got the cloth from the church.
Yeah, but he lived 10 more years.
Yeah, and
praise God.
And he lived a good, long life. He wasn't sick.
Praise
he was able to go to different things, family reunions, which he could not go to before.
Praise God.
And this is a this is one of the miracles for
Amen.
God.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So that was why I was saying
yes.
that's really true. That
yes.
really happened.
Yes. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Deborah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this was happening in with Paul and through his ministry. And so verse 13, look at verse 13 now. It says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, these are guys that were paid. What they did for a living was they were the, I don't know if you, are they making a remake of The Exorcist, the movie, aren't they? I don't recommend seeing it. I don't plan to see it, but I never saw the original one. I was too young to watch that when it came. I missed that. I think I'm glad I missed that. But anyway, that's what these guys were doing. They were exorcists, okay? And they were not Christians. They were Jewish exorcists. And it says they took it upon themselves to call the what? The name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.
Amen.
So point, here's a point now. So how are the miracles done by the hands of Paul? Evidently, if these guys were watching Paul and seeing what was happening, they were saying, oh, he's using the name of Jesus. Oh, he's speaking the name of Jesus. They said, we think we'll try that. And they said, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul... Well, that's as much as they knew about Jesus. They didn't say, we exorcise you by Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, and who's purchased us with His blood. They said, we don't know much about Him, but we're going to try this. We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, look at what happened here. Verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? They were unauthorized users. They were not believers. It says they took it upon themselves. Now, I mentioned to you earlier about William being authorized now as a law enforcement officer in Forsyth County. And he has a badge, and he's had the training. But if you or I went out today after service and said, I think I'm going to enforce the law around here, you would end up in jail yourself, wouldn't you? If you went very far. Why? Because you're unauthorized to do so. These men were unauthorized users. They were not saved. They were not believers. Verse 16 says, then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, beat them up, and stripped their clothes off. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. As my friend Randy Greer says, this is the first account in history of streaking. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Verse 17 says, this became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. See, I'm sure it was big news. It was on TMZ the next day. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Look at this. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. It's my desire in our day, in our time, in this hour, that the name of the Lord Jesus be magnified.
Amen.
It's time for the name of Jesus to be magnified in the church and in our nation.
Yeah.
Amen? Yes. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed, so these are believers, they came confessing and telling their deeds. So these are Christians that had stuff, you know, in their lives that wasn't right. Well, they got it right away after this happened. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver, which is millions of dollars. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And so it says, when this happened, an awe and a reverence came upon the people about the name of Jesus. You ever wonder why, you know, when people, you know, people curse and they use the name of Jesus in cursing? You've heard people say, well, Jesus Christ. They're not saying it in worship. They're saying it in cursing. And you know, you never hear anybody, say, oh, Buddha, oh, Muhammad. It's only Jesus, right? Why? Because the devil knows that name, and the devil tries to unmagnify that name. The devil tries to minimize that name. But a reverence came on the people, and the Bible says the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and the result of that, believers repented of their sins and got their lives cleaned out. And then the word of the Lord grows mightily and prevails. Why? Because the name is magnified. And the New Living Translation, verse 20 says, So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Don't you want the message of the Lord in our society today, in our culture, in our nation? Doesn't the message of the Lord need to spread widely? Don't you want the message of the Lord to have a powerful effect on our culture and on our society? There's a lot of churches and there's church growth, but is the message of the Lord having a powerful effect in our day? It needs to. How's it going to? When the name of Jesus is magnified. When the name of Jesus is magnified. Amen? Now, the thing about it is, too, the devil, Satan, fears that name. We'll wrap it up with this. Satan fears that name. In verse number 15, you guys can go ahead and come on back up if you want. Verse 15, it says, but when they had commanded them to go outside of the... So we're back to the council here. Peter and John are still in the council, still before the council. It says, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further. Everybody says, so that it spreads no further.
So that it spreads no further.
So this is what the devil doesn't want it to spread any further. The devil was in containment mode at this point. The devil was trying to contain this outbreak at this point. And he was using these men. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And the devil is still the same. The devil, his tactic is still the same, whether it's by threat and coercion or whether it's by just getting people to compromise or just getting us distracted. He wants us to speak to no man in this name. Why? Because he knows that when we learn to speak the name of Jesus with confidence, it will spread far and wide. There'll be miracles, there'll be healings, there'll be deliverances. God will work mightily as we speak in the name of Jesus. It says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But did they do that?
No.
Peter said, we've got to obey God.
Yeah.
We've got to obey God. There's great power in that name. The devil fears it. The devil's only hope is to get you to not speak in the name of Jesus. We know about praying in His name, and we're going to spend several weeks probably on this. We're going to look at all the scriptures that refer to the use of the name of Jesus. We know, some of us know a little bit about praying in the name of Jesus. We know that we're to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We've learned that. But there's a lot we need to know about speaking in that name. That's what they said. He said, we're going to command them not to speak at all, not to speak to any man in this name. Because it's when we speak in the name of Jesus with faith and with confidence that the power of God is released. They went back after they were released from the council there. They went back in verse 29 of Acts 4. They got together with the other believers and they prayed. And here's their prayer. Look at their prayer. Look at what they prayed. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. They threatened them. Don't you speak anymore in this name. They said, Lord, you hear what they're saying to us. Hear their threats. And give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. We're not going to tone it down. We're not going to send a delegation and say, look, let's come to some amiable compromise here. No. Give us boldness. They've told us not to speak. God, give us boldness to speak even bolder, even more. Give us great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name. Everybody say, through the name.
Amen.
Through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now. There's no other name. Peter said, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And whoever calls on that name, whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. When we call on the name of Jesus, we're acknowledging, we're saying, I need a Savior. I can't save myself. The way that I've been living and the way that I've been going is not working. I need a Savior. I need someone. I need someone to, as we sang earlier, to free me from the shame. Only Jesus can free your heart from that shame. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, we sang earlier. But the Holy Spirit, through the power of Jesus Christ, through the name of Jesus, can wash us clean, can make us new on the inside. All we have to do is call on that name. You're here today and you'd say, Pastor David, I'm ready to do that. I want to call on the name of the Lord. I want to be free from sin. I want to be free from shame. I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, that's me you're talking to. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to call on Him in a church service, but it's a good time to do it when the Holy Spirit is drawing and speaking. You can do it at any time. The most important thing, though, is to do it, is to call on Him. A good friend of mine, I'm friends with both his father and the man himself. His father is Jerry O'Dell, and the man I'm talking about is Tommy O'Dell. And many of you know Tommy. He's come and he's ministered here. I went to Africa with Tommy, and as he preached a crusade, as he preached the name of Jesus. But when Tommy was a young man in his teens, he was dying from a drug overdose. He had heard about Jesus all his life, but he had never given his life to Him. He'd never given his heart to Him. He'd never asked Him to come into his heart. And he had gotten in with the wrong group and was doing drugs and been on hard drugs. And he was overdosing that night. He was riding in the car with his friends, and they saw he was overdosing, and they didn't want to be responsible. So they, as your good drug buddies will do, they threw him out of the car. And they said, you're on your own, pal. And he crawled on the ground behind this old abandoned building. He was in downtown Tulsa, Oklahoma, and in the middle of the night. And he knew what he needed to do. He'd heard it all his life, but he just never had done it. But thank God, before he breathed his last dying breath, he said these words. Two words was his prayer. Jesus, okay. And by his own testimony, I've heard him share it personally many times. Well, he said, when I said that, his mind, he couldn't even carry on a three-word conversation. His mind was so fried on the hard drugs he had done. He couldn't even carry on a conversation with you. Just he would sit and drool would just run out of his mouth. He was in such a sad state at that point in his life. He was able to utter the words, Jesus, okay. And by Tommy's own testimony, he said, when I said those words, he said, a fire began to burn. He said, it started in the top of my head and it burned all the way through my body. It burned, and everywhere that fire burned, he said, healing came. It was healing fire, and it came all the way through my body. And he said, it was like something pulled the roots, pulled something out of me that had bound me and that had held me, pulled it out by the roots. And he said, I got up from that ground that I was laying on, and I raised my hands, and I said, I'm free. I'm free. Satan, you lost your slave. I'll never be your slave again. And he hasn't been from that day to this. He's been free, and he's been healed, and he's been delivered, and he's been whole, and he's traveled literally around the world many times, preaching this same good news, telling others about this same Jesus, and he's seen face to face, he's seen hundreds of thousands, probably into the millions of people, call on this name and be saved. That's the power. That's in the name of Jesus. Jesus, okay. Stand up and let's sing it with him. There's power in the name. Say this after me. Make this declaration after me. Raise one hand to heaven. Say this. Say, I am an authorized user of the name of Jesus. I speak in that name. I lay hands on the sick in that name. What I have, I give. I have the name of Jesus. I have faith in that name. I believe that when I pray in that name, when I speak in that name, there are results. The power of God is released because of that name. The name that's above every name. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're just getting started in this. And we're going to have faith and confidence in that name as never before. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming this morning.